Amen. Did you come hungry for the Word of God here tonight? Yeah, praise the Lord. I'm sure many of you received the text message there. You know the direction we're going. I always like to kind of prime the pump a little bit. Glory to God. Amen. It's so good to see everybody. I see that most of you are back to your pre-leadership meeting seats. Last night, everyone was sitting in a different section. Praise the Lord. And now things go back to normal. You know, how many of you know that we don't have assigned seats here or anything like that? But sometimes, you know, habits form, and that's good. And, you know, it's amazing to me when I'm not in service or, you know, I'm somewhere where I start thinking about the church. I mean, I can literally close my eyes and just start seeing where people sit. It's amazing. It's like it's burned into my retina. Yeah. And it's a good thing. Amen. Praise the Lord. Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of 1 John. And we're going to go to chapter 4. And like the text message said, we're going to call this message, Getting Free from Emotional Turmoil. Praise the Lord. Can you bring me down just a hair? I feel like I'm a little loud up front. Praise the Lord. Getting free from emotional turmoil. You know, it's amazing to me, of course, as a pastor, I see many that get into the mental realm. And how many of you know we've all been there? And it's easy to get into the realm of overthinking things and getting into the realm of the emotion. Of course, we have a full range of emotional feelings as human beings. But how many of you know that emotions are not our compass? You know, feelings are not our compass. You know, we're not looking to try to feel for God. You know what I mean? What we need to be is be led by the Spirit. Amen. The Bible says that the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching the inward parts of the belly. So often, you know, I see the devil just absolutely beat on people in their minds because the mental realm is his realm. The mental realm is the realm of the devil. And when we know this, that the Bible teaches us that the only real power that he has is the power of suggestion through the thought life. Oh, yeah, and to try to get us into our feelings and try to get us into our emotions. But that is a very poor reflection of who God is. You know, how many of you know that, you know, if you try to judge God or to judge the will of God with your emotions, you're going to miss it? Because we're not led. He doesn't speak to us in the emotional realm. He speaks to us in our spirit. He doesn't communicate with our mind. He doesn't communicate with our feelings. He doesn't communicate with our body at all. And so often I see Christians, I mean, they will just be in torment about things such as, you know, finances, about their children, about their jobs, about certain circumstances or things that happen. And it's real easy, if we're not careful, to fall into the wrong pattern of thought. And next thing you know, the devil will just beat and play upon your emotions, you know, praise the Lord. So we want to be free from emotional turmoil. And of course, you know that I have a saying around here, what are you going to do when a good feeling is hard to find? Amen. And you know that any form of emotional turmoil is really torment. It's torment. God never intended us for us to be tormented in our emotions at all. He never intended us to be worried. He never intended us to panic. And all forms of torment are basically just another form of fear. Yeah. That's all what it is. Emotional turmoil, any kind of it, is just a form of fear. And the Bible tells us how to deal with torment. And the answer to that is knowing God's love. Oh, yeah. Knowing God's love. And I'll tell you what. If there's one thing that, you know, we want to get a hold of in this life and the blessing of God, that's stability. You know, behind every blessing of God, it is built upon stability. Amen. Stability is the greatest sign of spirituality, right? You know, of course, the love of God is the token of perfection as we walk in the love of God. But the love of God is always, first and foremost, stable. You know, there's a lot of people out there that they're chasing. Praise the Lord, we should hunger and desire the manifestations of the Spirit. But you know, there's people that's the only thing they chase, and they can be very hungry for those things, but they're very unstable, and their lives get just tossed and turned all over the place, and there's no stability. Oh, come on. It's because somewhere in their mind, they're trying to chase God with their emotions. And they're seeking some kind of feeling high or emotional high. You know, you got to be careful about that. Oh, you know, a lot of people, you know, they'll say to me, you know, I just don't feel loved. I don't feel taken care of. I don't feel protected. I don't feel these things. Well, guess what? Stop asking your feelings permission of what you can and can't believe. Because I tell you what, you don't have to feel the love of God. You are told to believe the love of God. You know, and a lot of people, they start to ask their emotions permission of what they can and can't believe or what they can respond to. Listen, you don't live by what you feel. You live by what you believe. Like Smith Wigglesworth, he said this. He said, I'm 1,000 times bigger on the inside than I am on the outside. What was he saying there? He's saying, I don't live by, you know, my emotions on the outside. I live by faith in the power of God that is on the inside. Amen. You know, and I want to have that same attitude as well. Praise God. You know, the thing about emotions is that they're dependent upon good feelings. You know, and you've heard me say this a lot. The world is producing less and less good feelings. And if you become addicted to the good feeling, that's all people will chase. I see a lot of Christians, they're just, you know, they're chasing good feelings. You know, we're not called to chase good feelings. Because how many of you know over there in Luke chapter 4 and Matthew chapter 4, Jesus was led into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And the Bible says that he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. How many of you know that the wilderness doesn't always feel good? What if Jesus was led by his feelings? What if he tried to discern the plan of God by how it felt or how it looked? You know, that's why I always say, what are you going to do when a good feeling is hard to find? God doesn't mind leading us into places that may look like a wilderness for a little while. You know, Jesus needed the wilderness. He was tested and proven. How many of you know that we will also face the wilderness because we need it? You know, the world is going to find out in a hurry if you're serious about the things of God. You know, you might be in a time of wilderness right now. You know, wilderness is when nothing good seems to be going on around you. You know, things just aren't happening as fast as you like, or, you know, things that you're believing for seem to be taking a lot of time, or things, you know, seem to be drying up a little bit. We all go through those times. Have you ever been in a wilderness spot in your life? Well, don't fret it. It's good for your character. You know, just keep standing, keep believing, keep doing what you know is right. You'll come out of it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So many Christians, they just get blown and tossed because, see, when a believer gets addicted to the good feeling, the devil's going to make sure to yank that good feeling away. I see people all the time just coming and going from churches to churches because when you start attending a new church initially, it's real easy to have good feelings. Everything's new, everything's exciting, you know, and then all of a sudden, you know, that people start to get familiar with a church or whatever. And then all of a sudden that novelty will start to wear off, you know, and then they fail to stir themselves up and to keep that excitement, that hunger, you know. Pastors, you know what I'm talking about, where you just see people, oh, my goodness, we just love this place. This is a church we've been looking for our whole life. As soon as anyone comes to our church and says that, I'm thinking, you'll be gone.
Yeah.
It's always the folks that come to us that are just a little bit skeptical that are always the best. You know what I mean? The folks are like, oh my goodness, we've just been looking for this. What they're really doing is they're reacting to that good feeling. They're reacting to the good feeling, and I know that just probably won't last. You know, it doesn't mean you can't. We all came with good feelings in the sense that we're excited to be here, but you know, you get tested. You get tested. Amen. You'll get convicted. So on and so forth. So let's talk about what the word says, what we do to make sure that we are not tormented emotionally. Go to 1 John 4. We're going to start in verse 16. Oh, praise the Lord. Glory to God. I love preaching this. I love preaching this scripture. I'm excited that I'm released to do so here tonight. Verse 16 says, and we have known and believed the love that God has to us. God is love. He that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, in God in him. Herein, we'll keep reading, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Aren't you glad it says that? Wait, let's read that again. Because as he is, so are we in this world. I mean, my goodness, there's a whole nother sermon right there. As he is, so are we in this world. You realize that you are the Jesus on this earth, right? And every one of his abilities is still here on this earth. They're here through you and through me and through the church. Amen? You know, and if you ever wondered what God's life for you looks like, go read the Gospels and read what Jesus' life was like on the earth, because that's what he has for you. That's what he has for you. I mean, go read the Gospels and watch the miracles that take place around Jesus' life, not just through him, but also for him. Notice that wherever he went, you know, he never concentrated on money. You know, he never chased money. Money chased him. Luke chapter 8, read the first half dozen verses of Luke chapter 8, and it talks about how the wealthy women would come and just support his ministry. Support his ministry and just give to him. He didn't have to go out and beg people to give to his ministry. He was in the will of God, and in the provision came to him. You know, everywhere he went, someone provided for him. You know, just when it looked, I mean, miraculous ways of paying taxes. I mean, fish coughing up your taxes, and Peter's as well. You know, miracles were taking a place around him financially. Right? Of course, physically, he was, the dead were being raised. People were being fed, just getting around him. You know, 5,000, and, you know, of course, there was the feeding of the 5,000. A little bit later, he fed the 4,000. And you remember what they asked Jesus when he said, you give them something to eat. And they said, well, Master, we only have, you know, 2 fish, 5 loaves of bread. You know, I don't think that's going to feed 5,000. And they said to him, Master, should we go into town and buy food for everybody? So giving us the idea they had money on hand to buy lunch for 5,000 people. When's the last time you can buy a hockey arena, buy everyone in the place a hot dog and some nachos? Praise the Lord. You know, so provision was always showing up around him. Glory to God. Why? You know, because as he is, so are we in this world. You know, there should be a notable difference in our lives. Things are going to start happening, popping around our lives when we're faithful and in the plan of God. But then verse 18 is what I'm trying to get to. He says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear has torment. He that fears is not made perfect in love. Now let me explain what he's talking about here. He's talking about knowing the love of God. All right, that God has for you. You notice the more revelation you have of how much you're loved by God, it will cast out fear. And notice torment has got to go with it.
Right.
Knowing and have a revelation of who you are. Amen. Knowing how much you are loved by the Father. You know, that is what casts fear out. And the Bible says if you're in fear, it's because you don't have a revelation of how much you're loved. Because once you get a hold of how much God loves you, you will not fear anymore.
That's right.
And notice when fear's gone, the turmoil in your emotions are gone.
Good.
There's a lot of people that are just in turmoil in their emotions. Everything's a feeling, you know. Oh, my goodness. Listen, you could have a great feeling now and bad feeling tomorrow and a great feeling again by tomorrow night and a bad feeling again by Friday and a good feeling again by Monday. And, you know, you could be all over the map. But don't let your feelings drag you up and down the roller coaster of life. You know, it's about times that we start telling, you know, we start declaring how it's going to be.
That's right.
You know, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Go back up to verse 16. Notice it says, we have known and believed the love that God has to us. Notice it never said we have known and felt the love that God has for us. You know, I see a lot of emotional Christians, bless their darling hearts, and praise God when a good worship song ministers to us, and praise the Lord when, you know, maybe you listen to a sermon, or, you know, you hear someone's testimony and it just ministers to you. That's a wonderful thing. But I see so many times believers, they try to emotionally connect to God. You know, they choose their favorite praise and worship song based on whether it brings tears to their eyes or not. You know what I mean? They'll choose certain things because it gives them goosebumps or gives them feelings or whatever. We should not be so reliant upon our feelings, because God never asked you. Some people, I'm just here, and churches promote this stuff, and it's a whole bunch of nonsense. You know, come on in and feel the love of God. Come on, we're gonna sing you our latest hit off of our CD album, and you will feel God's love as you hear that song. What a bunch of nonsense. And I'm probably stepping on somebody's toes here, you know, and they'll say, we're just here to feel God's love. And they might work up some big emotional response and things like that, but you are not to be led by feelings. Feelings got God's love. So what happens when that feeling's gone? Did God stop loving you?
Yeah, there you go.
See, because that's exactly what happens when people are dependent on feelings. The feelings are going to come and go, but the truth never goes. And so that's why the Bible never tells us to feel God's love. It tells us to believe God's love. Because feelings come and go, but faith does not come and go. Listen, I tell you what, you know, my goodness, think about this. So many believers are trying to feel God's love. Listen, God isn't waiting for you to say, Father, I just want to feel your love. I just want to feel your love. I want to feel your love. And God said, well, don't you remember my word where I said that you walk by faith and not by feelings? You know what I mean? Which is sight. Sight is just one of the five senses, which includes your feelings and your emotions. You know, you walk by faith. You walk by what you believe, not what you feel. I tell you what, folks, get a hold of this. It'll rescue your life if you stop being someone that's just waiting to get a good feeling. Because God is not in the business of giving good feelings. He's in the business of giving truth. And he's waiting for us to declare the truth out of our mouth. And then declaring the truth out of our mouth will change the circumstances that are trying to bring torment into your life. Amen. One of the greatest deliverances anyone can ever experience in this life with God is being delivered from their own emotions. You know, that's why, when good news comes in, you know, praise the Lord, we can definitely rejoice. The Bible talks about we're allowed to rejoice and be glad over, you know, glad tidings and so on. But I tell you what, when evil tidings or bad news tries to show up in our life, you know, I am not going to give the devil an opportunity to see my reaction. I am not, you know what I mean? Remember when you were a kid, you know, when someone was picking on you? And parents, you've told your kids the same thing. Just don't react.
Yeah.
If you just stop the reaction, they're going to stop picking on you. You know, the devil is very similar to that. But if you keep showing him that you're willing to react and you're willing to lose your temper or lose your cool or start panicking and start worrying, he's going to come back and keep pressing that button over and over because he was getting a reaction out of you every single time. I've had people downright accuse me for seeming insensitive. They'll tell me, you know, bad news or something, and I'm not going to fall apart over it. I'm not. You'll never see where Jesus fell apart or lost emotional control because of something. Listen, people don't need your emotional collapse. They need someone strong. They need someone that knows how to react and believe the love that God has for you and for them. Praise the Lord. We have known and believed the love that God has to us. God is love. He that dwells in the love of God dwells in God and God in him. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know, there was a time in Israel's history when they forgot that they were loved. Are you ready to take a look at this? Hold your place there in 1 John because we're not done there. We're not done in 1 John. Go way back to the book of Malachi. Oh, the tithing book. Malachi is the last book of the Old Testament. It's right before Matthew in the New Testament. But we're not going to Malachi chapter 3, so you can breathe easy. You can go to Malachi chapter 1 and verse 1. Malachi, praise the Lord. Oh, I tell you what, you're going to learn exactly what to do in the face of emotional turmoil. You're going to know how to respond. And the Bible says, and we're going to get back there to verse 18 here in a few minutes, about casting out torment. Casting out torment. Notice it must not belong, because love gives it an eviction notice.
Yeah, that's good.
You know what I mean? It's time to evict torment. Torment has no place in you. Worry has no place in you. Struggling to figure out all these things in life and worrying about finances and kids and you know, your health and your insurance and your job and all this stuff. We're not going to go there.
No.
See, the devil is just trying to drag believers into the low life. We'll live in the high life. And it's not the Miller high life. It's the Jesus high life. Amen. Let's start in verse 1 here. Malachi. Malachi was a prophet in Israel that served the people of Israel in the days of their great backsliding. They had really backslidden to a point where they were not faithful to the Lord at all. They were going through some motions, but they weren't really connected in their heart. And so in verse 1 it says, the burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. You know, isn't it interesting that the scripture says the burden of the word of the Lord to Israel through Malachi? Okay, that doesn't mean those that preach the word, you know, it's not like a negative thing, you know, that burden. But I'll tell you what, Malachi was going to bring a pretty tough message. And that weighed on him, and he knew that he was going to have to deliver less than popular messages, you know. And if you're a preacher of the Word of God, and the only thing you have is light and cheery messages, then I'm telling you, you're probably not carrying the Word of the Lord like you should. Because not only, and of course tonight, we're going to be encouraged, but there's also times we need to be corrected as well. Amen. And in verse 2, the Lord says this to Israel. He says, I have loved you. Isn't that awesome? The first thing he says to a backslidden nation of Israel, he said, I've loved you. I've loved you. Listen, this is the answer to backsliding. This is the answer to getting back in the saddle with the Lord again, is knowing how much you're loved. I mean, here they were in a backslidden state, and of course, he's going to say a lot of things that are going to correct them. But notice the first thing he says before he starts getting to the correction is, I've loved you. I've loved you. And God's saying, listen, you may have walked away from me, but I haven't walked away from you. Aren't you glad that when you just haven't hung the moon, so to speak, you know, haven't done everything that, you know, you feel like you should or whatever, and you're in that time in your life, aren't you glad God is not walking away from you? Oh, praise the Lord. You know, of course, I'm preaching to the choir. You're all so faithful here. But I tell you what, there's folks that, you know, they'll get away from the Lord. He's not walking away from them.
That's right.
They're walking away from him. And God's still saying, Israel, I've loved you. I've loved you. But notice Israel's response. God says, I loved you, says the Lord. Yet you say, wherein hast thou loved us? Whoa, my goodness. See, now here is what Israel's making the mistake. Like what 1 John 4:16 is telling us, they didn't know his love. They didn't know his love, and they didn't believe his love. Watch, because they say, oh, you've loved us? How? Oh, my goodness. And of course, this put Israel at risk.